Welcome back to HealthLink On Air. This is your host, Tricia Torrey, every patient's advocate. And HealthLink On Air is brought to you each week by SUNY Upstate Medical University, making the academic difference in healthcare in the Central New York community. Well, Dr. Robert Carhart has returned. He's with us in the studio this morning, one of our favorite and regular guests. Good morning, Dr. Carhart. It's been a while.
Good morning.
And as most of our listeners know, you're a cardiologist with University Hospital in SUNY Upstate. And, you know, there have been so many new findings having things to do with cholesterol and cardiology. We just wanted to bring you in for a general conversation, so I'm so glad you could join us this morning. You know, the Jupiter study, now this is something that's come out in the last couple of weeks, and it's really important for all of us to get a grasp of what that study was and what it really means for patients. So tell us about the Jupiter study.
Okay. In kind of a brief description, essentially what they did is they took a specific cholesterol medicine, a statin, which most people take for their cholesterol. And the statin in this case was a drug called rosuvastatin.
And the brand name is Crestor.
Mm-hmm. And they looked at its ability to lower something called the CRP or C-reactive protein. Now, why that's important, coronary artery disease in a large part is an inflammatory process. So when cholesterol actually inserts itself into the walls of your arteries, it causes a localized inflammatory response. The highly sensitive CRP, it will detect that level of inflammation.
So okay, so if my arteries are closing off from cholesterol, a CRP measurement will tell me that's happening.
That's correct.
Okay.
And it kind of defines how active the process is. And why is that important? Well, the more active this plaque is in terms of how inflamed it is, the more apt it is to actually grow, and the more likely it is to actually rupture, which leads to heart attacks.
So if I understand correctly, then you're really kind of measuring for two things. You're measuring the levels of cholesterol, and you're measuring how active that cholesterol is in making your arteries clogged.
Absolutely.
Okay.
And as we have talked in the past, it may not be as simple as we think in terms of if your cholesterol is at a certain level, then, you know, your risk of having a heart attack is completely eliminated. Some of it has to do with actually how much inflammation is going on in addition.
So you could have a lower level of cholesterol and a higher C-reactive protein, and that would indicate more problems than a higher level of cholesterol and a lower level of C-reactive protein?
It may very well be.
Okay.
And that, you know, our understanding of the pathology of atherosclerosis is kind of advancing.
And atherosclerosis meaning this hardening of the arteries and the inflammation. Okay.
And so trying to get a handle on what is the best way to prevent heart attacks is become really kind of important, because, you know, the first steps were lowering cholesterol. The original studies showed the higher your cholesterol, the greater your risk of coronary disease. And by and large, in America, most people adopted a better diet. Cholesterol is monitored. But yet, despite that, people are still having heart attacks.
Mm-hmm.
So there has to be other things. And one of which items that we're looking at is this level of inflammation.
Okay.
So the CRP was chosen as a marker, if you will, of inflammation. And part of what they were trying to get at with this trial was, does the use of specifically rosuvastatin lower your C-reactive protein levels?
Okay. And what did they find out?
And they found that it did.
Aha.
Uh-huh.
However, we need to go behind this headline, don't we?
We do.
Because this wasn't really a clinical trial. This was not a study that we look at as an objective measurement of anything other than this one particular drug being sold by this one particular company. So tell us more about that.
Well, I think it's important to understand kind of the background.
Okay.
And the piece of information that may not be out there, that may not be everybody is aware of, is that these studies have been done since the 1990s. This has been known for a very long time, that if you start on a statin and lower your cholesterol, your C-reactive protein levels go down.
And we should also say that what they found in this quote-unquote study was that people did not die as readily of heart attacks as they would have if they had not been taking this particular drug.
That's right.
Right. So the conclusion they tried to reach then was that everybody needs to be taking Crestor,
mm-hmm,
if they want to stave off heart attacks. And that's not really what happened with it, is it?
No, I think that, you know, their premise of the study was to try to specifically expand the indications for the drug.
Well, what you mean is sell more.
Well, let's say that what I mean is to allow them to go to the FDA and say, we have demonstrated that our drug can accomplish this, and we'd like that added to the list of indications for our medication.
Okay. What are patients supposed to do with this information? Because if you would read the reports as they were put out, you would think, oh my gosh, I need to go to my doctor and ask him to prescribe Crestor for me. But what you're suggesting is that we really need to be looking behind that a little bit more, don't we?
Well, absolutely. And I think that what's important to understand is that the statins, probably as a class, certainly several of them in addition have been studied with this, mm-hmm. all demonstrated the same effect.
Okay.
So you may already be on a cholesterol medicine. Mm-hmm. There's no real indication based on this study to change your cholesterol medicine.
Right. So it's not that you need to be taking this particular brand, or at least there are no studies yet that say you need to be taking this particular brand.
That's correct.
And let's talk about the difference, because this, as I said, was not a clinical trial. This was just a study being done by this pharmaceutical company. So let's explain the difference between the two.
Well, I think it's important to understand that there are trials being done to demonstrate new therapies and a benefit of a new therapy that's not otherwise available.
And when those are done, they are done with control groups, they are done with perhaps different kinds of drugs, they're done with a variety of things, not just one drug.
Absolutely.
With one group of people.
And many times
being
studied. The investigators are blinded to the drugs they're on.
Mm-hmm. And that's a good thing.
That is a good thing. And, you know, that does not then necessarily bias your results. And I think in addition, you know, the data is scrutinized in a slightly different fashion. Mm-hmm. In what this is something that, for lack of a better term, is defined as a phase four trial, in the sense that it's a drug already available, mm-hmm. that already has an indication for lowering cholesterol. And this is more looking at how can we sort of expand that indication a little bit without really, you know, going into a whole new realm, if you will.
Well, you know, it reminds me of last spring you were here. We asked you about a study, a different study called the ENHANCE study, that came out that was about Vytorin, which was another drug. And the idea there, if I remember correctly, was that the two manufacturing companies had provided one drug called Vytorin that combined two drugs that were supposed to have an enhanced value on their own. And when the upshot was that they didn't necessarily work the way expected, you suggested at the time that maybe we weren't even measuring things correctly. Does the Jupiter study tie into the measurements you were talking about that need to be looked at differently?
Well, I think it does to some extent, because, you know, the real indication for using the highly sensitive CRP is really to see if you're accomplishing the goal that we have for lowering your cholesterol, which is to reduce the amount of inflammation going on in your artery. Mm-hmm. And it may not be a strict one-to-one relationship. In other words, there may not be that absolute, the lower your cholesterol is, the lower your risk is.
Because your CRP might be different. And I guess what this suggests to me is that maybe there needs to be a combination measurement, the cholesterol plus the CRP and maybe even something else.
I think so. And I think what you're going to see as we move forward is that there's going to be, if you will, an expansion of the number of tests or the number of markers that we're looking at. One of the problems with CRP is that it's a nonspecific marker of inflammation. So any kind of inflammation will cause your CRP to go up.
Ah.
If you have a cold, your CRP goes up.
Ah.
If you have active arthritis, your CRP goes up. So you have to be careful in terms of interpreting those results.
So that's a measurement, but it isn't even a definitive measurement by itself, is it?
No.
Interesting. What other kinds of measurements might we be looking at then?
Well, I think, again, what we're looking for are specific markers related to inflammation of the vascular wall.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, the testing will try to concentrate on that. There are a lot of different substances released by your blood vessel when it's injured, when it's inflamed, and that's really kind of the markers that ultimately we'll be looking for. I think, you know, that being said, cholesterol is a good starting point. It's a simple test. Everyone understands it. You know,
and we even know how we can affect it one way or the other.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
And I think that, you know, what you then go from there is going to be kind of the next generation, if you will. I mean, getting your cholesterol down to a reasonable level is important. Decisions that need to be made about, do I go to a higher dose and risk more side effects, as opposed to, do I stay at this dose because it looks like everything's quieted down, is really kind of the next level, if you will.
The bottom line for patients is to talk to their cardiologist, am I right?
The bottom line is, and I think the bottom line is that, you know, there's never the miracle pill.
Never the miracle pill, no. And, you know, and we patients always look for that silver bullet. We want something quick and easy, and we don't want to have to alter anything else we do. But the bottom line is that you need to learn to manage this, and you do that with your cardiologist. Is that right?
That sounds good.
Good advice?
Good advice.
I don't give medical advice, but I can always send people to the right people who can. Well, Dr. Robert Carhart, thank you so much. You've provided us a good look behind the scenes of clinical trials and a good look at this test. Thanks so much.
You're welcome.
Listeners, we'll be back after a quick break. Please stay with us. This is University Hospitals HealthLink on air on 570 WSYR.